Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper.
Political theater and revolution in the 20th century. Presented by the Theatre Studies Programme of the Mediterranean Institute at the University of Malta, coordinated by Dr. Vicky Ann Cremona. Today's programme is Augusto Boal and Legislative Theatre, with Nicole Bujeya and helped by Anna Stavrovskaya.
Where are people gonna rise up, get their share?
Hello, Nicole, and
hi, Vicky.
I would like to say hello to our listeners who are tuning into this program today. As I said in our introduction, today's program is focusing on Augusto Boal. We are going to be speaking about this very important personage within the theatre environment. I myself had the privilege of doing some workshops with Augusto Boal in America, and we can say that he himself is quite a revolutionary character, having undergone exile for his political ideas, and actually having been elected to the parliament in his home city. However, before we actually go to discussing Boal, I think it would be interesting to give an overview of Boal's career. Now, basically, Boal works very closely with Paulo Freire at the beginning of his career. In fact, the name of his first book, which is called Theatre of the Oppressed, is derived from Freire's book called Pedagogy of the Oppressed, where Paulo Freire establishes the distinction between the kind of traditional education that is received in school, where children are fed with information, which he calls banking education, and a new type of pedagogy, which is based more on a reciprocal relationship between the teacher learning from the student as much as the student learning from the teacher. This is a concept which Augusto Boal will also take up in his own theatre. The first stage of Boal's theatrical career really starts with the Arena Theatre, with his founding of the Arena Theatre, which in 1956 enters into its realist stage. And in fact, Augusto Boal works with a friend called Gianfrancesco Guarnieri, and he starts creating theatre against the aesthetics of the time, against the prevailing theatres of the time. A theatre actually that is based in politics, on political engagement already. And with the development of the Arena Theatre, we have also the development of a laboratory which is inspired from the concept, the laboratory concept of Stanislavski. In February 1958, he starts producing plays like They Don't Wear Tuxedos, where the concept of proletarian drama is introduced. And during the 4 years that follow, he begins to put up a lot of plays by very young playwrights. And we have at that point a great development in Brazil of different forms of theater and also of different forms of politics, because there is the Brazil political nationalism, and therefore Boal is going to focus many of his plays on anything that is Brazilian. And then eventually the concept of national interest begins to wane, and new playwrights are staged, however, which are not contemporary playwrights, but they go back to the classics. They go back to Machiavelli, they go back to Molière, etc., and where we begin to see the concept emerging in Boal's company of the universal classic and the contestation of this idea. And then they go on to creating musical shows and a whole series of performances around music. And we have, up to a certain extent, a very important theatrical development. Obviously, we also must say that what is important is Boal's parallel to this, Boal's exile. Boal is exiled from Brazil, and in 1973, he is already in exiled, and he is in Peru. In fact, he was exiled about five times in Buenos Aires, twice in Lisbon, and in Paris. At that point, he is in Peru, and in 1973, the revolutionary government in Peru begins a literacy campaign, and where illiterate people are being taught how to express themselves and how to write. Therefore, the whole concept of language changes, and they are taught how to speak Spanish and possibly how to write Spanish. And Boal is highly engaged in this project, and from this project, from this concept of literacy, we have the first development of the Theatre of the Oppressed. And today it is with Nicole that we are going to be discussing this concept of the Theatre of the Oppressed. So before I go to that, Nicole, I would like to ask you a general question about Boal. How would you situate Boal and the meaning of theatre?
Yes, actually, when we hear the name Augusto Boal, immediately it sounds politics. According to him, all theatre is necessarily political because all activities of men are political, and theatre is one of them. And about theatre, he says that it is a weapon both for the for domination and liberation. And here comes his argument about the ruling classes and about the working class. He says that the ruling classes use the theater as a tool of domination by establishing the divisions between the actors and the spectators. So the spectacle comes to reflect the dominant ideology. And what Boal wants to do is,
in a sense, we can make a parallel here even with Brecht, because Brecht was against the dominant bourgeois ideology and used his performances to break it.
Yes.
To lead his audiences to thinking in another way, the Marxist way. In fact, yes. Boal is highly influenced by
Marxism. Highly influenced by Marxist theory. Yes, in fact, he makes an analysis of Brechtian theory, apart from doing also of Aristotle. On Aristotle's Poetics, for instance, he says that it is a poetics of oppression and of intimidation, because it shows the world as known, perfect, or about to be perfect. And so all its values are imposed on the spectators. And the spectators delegate to the actors the power to think and act in their actual place. And dramatic action substitutes real action. Now, with Brecht, Boal shows that we move a step forward towards a better situation. In Brecht, the world is subject to change, and change can start in the theatre itself. The spectator here, unlike an Aristotle's system, does not delegate to the actor the power to think in his place, but continues to delegate the power to act in his place. Mm-hmm. And dramatic action throws light upon the real action. So here we have the spectator according to Boal, who can think for himself and can sort of meditate upon the situation, but he is still on the side of the audience. He's not doing any real action. And what Boal wants, the next step, is for the spectator to do the real action. So change means doing, because obviously the oppressed working class in Brazil do not only need theories or advices upon how they can improve their situation. They actually need themselves to do something about it in the here and now.
And this is very much a concept of Boal's, getting people to do, to take action, very much like Brecht wanted his audience to think and to walk out of the theatre and sort of be stimulated to action. And we've seen this also with Piscator, who wants to people to move into action. Boal, perhaps, is the one who actually obliges them to move into action.
Yes.
How can we, let us examine a little bit the different types of theatre that he proposes in order for this action to happen.
In fact, it's interesting to say that for Boal, the word spectator is a dirty word, and from spectator one, the individual becomes a spect actor.
Yes, in fact, there's a play of spect actor, the actor who also watches.
Exactly.
But the important word is actor, action, because Marx, after all, had said that the revolution has to be accomplished by taking action, and Boal himself is trying to push the audience to take action.
It is interesting to point out that these people need to learn. Need to learn from scratch certain things. And Boal is very aware of this. So theatre is not only revolutionary. Theatre is actually a rehearsal of revolution.
That's very important, yes. The fact of being a rehearsal for revolution implies that automatically theatre is already going to portray and to bring to the fore the notion of class struggle.
Exactly.
And once the class struggle is going to be brought to the fore, injustice is going to be highlighted, which is why Boal is going to call it the theatre of the oppressed.
Yes.
Okay, because it is the oppressed who have to rise up and to have to change their condition. Right. So really, you were speaking about his idea of the spectator. How does he expect the spectator to rise up?
Yes, in fact, we can say that it is a pedagogical process. We have to point out that Boal tells us that when he arrived among these people, some of them didn't even know the meaning of theatre, didn't know what theatre is.
It is important to say that Boal worked with really poor communities.
Yes, definitely.
In origin, particularly started with the theatre of the oppressed. He actually went to the people rather than expected the people to come to him. Yes. Obviously, as he has become more and more successful, he has moved from the proletarian environment, although he never has left it, and has worked in all sorts of environments, including hospital environments and psychiatric environments and social environments. But in origin, his message was overtly political with the proletarian sector of society.
In fact, these people, according to Boal, in getting to know the level of your oppression, one can even start from the actual body. For instance, you have a specific tough job in the fields, and you realize that the way that you are moving your body is very stressful, and the body can do different movements and different artistic actions from the movements which are being done on the actual place of work. And so the first step for Boal is knowing one's body. And here Boal conducts a series of exercises by which one gets to know one's body, therefore its limitations and its possibilities. It's, like I was saying, social distortions and possibilities of rehabilitation. So the people here start being aware that they can move and they can do artistic actions which are different from the usual postures which they usually
assume.
Yes,
on their workplace, yes. And in fact, I think this is a very important point, because Boal's work on the body, Boal always starts any work he does with any social group by creating exercises for the body. Mm-hmm. Also because he thinks that it is, first of all, through the body that we are going to link ourselves to other people.
Yes.
We can say that many of his exercises are proposed in a particular book called Games for Actors and Non-Actors, which is a very useful manual, not only for people wanting to do theatre, but also for people wanting to use theatrical or physical exercises.
Yes, definitely. And then we find a next step in Boal. It's a pedagogical process, so one builds up in steps. Making now the body expressive, not only getting to know it, but making it expressive. And here he creates a series of games by which one begins to express oneself through the body, abandoning that other system of movement, the previous one, that more common and habitual forms of expression for a more expressive form. And then theatre becomes a language, and the actor starts experiencing theatre as a medium through which he can express his oppressive situations. And we find some three different types. There is simultaneous dramaturgy, where Boal tells us that the spectator writes simultaneously with the acting of the actors. And then there's image theatre, where the spectators intervene directly, speaking through images made with the actor's body. So there are a series of actors, and the spectators judge whether the action is acceptable or not. Then, in the third stage, which is forum theatre, those which are observing the action actually enter into it and find possibilities which are of benefit to their own lifestyle. For instance, I can mention there is a woman who is oppressed by her husband, let's say a beaten up woman, and they try to find solutions for her problem. And for instance, what should she do when he comes back from work? Start shouting, slam the door and leave, beat him up and then give him dinner, you know? And people would go out of the audience area, enter the action area, and judge in their own way what they would want the situation to be.
Yes, and I think there's a build-up there, because in image theatre, what Boal is asking the people to do is to sculpt, I mean to create images through their bodies, and therefore either sculpting another person or sculpting themselves, assuming positions, assuming tableaus, where they sort of create like a photograph of a particular situation, a particular mood, a particular feeling, a particular action, etc. In forum theatre, they do not only create a photograph, they create a process. Mm-hmm. And in a certain sense, in forum theatre, the audience creates the action and suggests the solutions. Yes. In a certain sense, the action starts out from something that is from an oppressive situation, which is suggested by the audience itself. I mean, when I was in America, there was this huge room with about, I should say, there were at least 300 to 400 people. Mm-hmm. And Boal asked people to come and recount to him their an oppressive situation. And they would come and they would recount it to the actors, and the actors would act it for them. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to see the way somebody's story became an act. That was quite important. So in reality, the the action is going to incorporate this visible oppression without a solution.
Yes. In fact, it is one can say that it is a certain form of therapy. Boal relates that there was a lot of manifestation of emotions also. For instance, there was this exercise which is called breaking of repression, where an actor goes into the acting area and acts his repression. And then he goes in again and acts against that repression. So he is analyzing different situations. And the first time when he was the repressed, he actually cried a lot because he felt it a lot. And then when he acted the opposite, he became quite aggressive. And then from then on, they worked towards a solution. So therapy comes in a lot.
Therapy and also politics comes in a lot because definitely, in a certain sense, we have a situation where we have an unsolved situation of oppression, and where different people in the audience will suggest different ways to solve this oppression. So they will stop the action and they will take the place of the actor and act out the solution. In a sense, Boal does not want talk. He wants people to do.
No, he wants action.
So the fact of leaving the solution to be acted out and not simply theorized by the person, with all the actors reacting to him, and therefore he has to carry out what he is thinking up to the very end, and another person can intervene with another solution. So this was a very important moment of a very important form of theatre, which was actually taken up even to create legislative theatre.
Yes, in fact, Boal thought that the solution for these spectators' problem depends on their own will and on their own efforts. However, the oppression at times is equally rooted within the law. In the latter case, to bring about the desired change would require a transformation or redrafting of the actual law. And so here was born legislative theatre, which was a new system which in practice had all the exercises of theatre of the oppressed, with the difference of having a specific parliamentary application.
Yes, in fact, we can say that basically what Boal did is he would send his actors out in the streets, out in social groups, etc., etc. They would create forum theatre. According to what developed in forum theatre, he would have people writing out reports and showing all the themes that have come out. These would go back to his office. Lawyers would be there. They would read all that had come out, and they would create proposals for laws to be proposed at the Brazilian Parliament, at the Parliament of Rio de Janeiro.
This was actually possible because Boal was elected for Parliament, and he was the Minister for Human Rights. This all started actually when Theatre of the Oppressed started really had to stop because there was a change of government and there were no more fundings. And so they said, what are we doing? We cannot stop Theatre of the Oppressed, you know, in just a silent way. We have to theatricalize it. And this coincided with the elections of 1992. And the elections, quite like in Malta, over there are very carnivalesque. Actually, they decided to theatricalize a campaign for a party, and the Workers' Party accepted their offer on the condition that they had a candidate for elections. Well, they accepted, and then when they went for their meeting, everyone looked at Boal, and he said, what, am I to be like the candidate? And he said, okay, I will be the candidate on the condition that no one expects me to be elected. So they theatricalized the campaign.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, actually, he was elected.
But suddenly, the campaign was developing so well. It was quite a poor campaign, but it was developing so well that suddenly Boal, yes, he wanted to be elected.
Yes, and in fact he was, and we have his production of the book on legislative theater. Unfortunately, there is so much to say about Boal, but I'd like you, I know, Nicole, that you had found a particular quote about this, which I'd like us to end the program on.
Yes, this is a main point. Boal says, once elected, I would be able to contract all the cultural animators of the theater of the oppressed and realize our experiment to go beyond forum theater and invent legislative theater, as the function of variadors is to create laws and to ensure the proper enactment of those that already exist. The people's participation in this process could be achieved by means of theater, transitive democracy. For the first time in the history of the theater and the history of politics, there opened up the possibility of a whole theater company being elected to a parliament.
And it was. And Boal, even though he's no longer in parliament, is still very much carrying out his political theatre and also his social theatre. In fact, he produced a book called The Rainbow of Desire, where he speaks about his social experiments and his therapeutic experiments. And he is very much in the theatre today. Unfortunately, we have to bring this program to a very abrupt end because time is our oppressor. I thank you very much, Nicole, for this interesting discussion we had together. I would like just to point out that next week we will be discussing political theater in Malta.
Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time.